You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The nail in the coffin!
All right, welcome to The Nail in the Coffin, part of the world-famous Evergreen Podcast Network. I'm Tom Valentino, and with WWE SmackDown coming to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse here in Cleveland on Friday night, I had a chance to catch up with Otis, who's a member of the SmackDown roster. We talked about WWE performing in closed venues with their Performance Center and the Thunderdome over the past 16 months and what it's been like getting back on the road in front of live fans and a whole lot more. So let's go hear from Otis. He is the pride of the Alpha Academy. He's the number one guy, and he's going to be coming to Cleveland on Friday night for WWE SmackDown. Otis, how are you, big man?
Doing good. The number one guy is doing fantastic on this beautiful Wednesday.
Hey, I see you got this new clean-cut look going on. You're looking sharp.
Yeah, I want to show the world that my neck is completely gone. Yes. So it's something where you try to tell the people out there that The old Otis is out of there. You know, the big old beard, lovable guy with the long hair, the Polish hair is all gone. Now a clean cut with cool sideburns.
I love it. So I was doing my homework, getting ready for this, and I learned you grew up in Wisconsin. And as I'm looking on the screen here, I see you got your Milwaukee Bucks t-shirt on. After last night, I got to ask you, you a Bucks fan?
Yes, sir. My old partner from Heavy Machinery, Tucker Knight, we actually went to a couple games. Because we were advertised that we were going to be in SmackDown the next night during the game. And I forgot how fast those breaks are in between the games. So I was actually on the court when the game was going on. I didn't know that. I was out there dancing around and they kept yelling at me. So even the coach from the Bucks was shouting something at me. So I said, I apologize for that. But great time. Oh, yeah, Bucks, man. That's a huge win, baby.
Yeah, that was Bucks and six. That was the rallying cry. Hey, let's talk more about WWE, though. So you guys are back to touring, and for the better part of about 16 months, you've been working in these closed venues. First, it was the WWE Performance Center. Then you were in the Thunderdome that was set up in a few different arenas down in Florida. And with the exception of WrestleMania back in April, SmackDown last Friday was your first show in front of a live crowd in well over a year. What was going through your mind as you walked through the curtain for your match there?
I went through my mind is I never thought that WrestleMania would be at the Performance Center. that was being in the Performance Center for about, I think it was about 4.5 years. Definitely was never thought there would be a spectacle of that, of our magnitude into that building. So from the Performance Center to the Thunderdomes, into now a live crowd was like, well, man, we've arrived, we're home now, because that's what I live for, man. And like, I know Gable lives for that. Everybody else in the locker room does, because the energy is what gives you, that the juices flowing, everything going. So when it was, we're working for the camera, it wasn't quite the same. Something was missing there. And we got a taste of that WrestleMania this past in Tampa, but that was just a taste. Now we have a full load of the crowds, and Houston was awesome, man. I mean, they were loud, and they were either loving or hating on the Academy.
Yeah. So was it tough performing in the Performance Center and the Thunderdomes? Because wrestling, I mean, just like other athletes or even musicians, so much of what you guys are doing is fueled by the emotion and the energy of the fans in the building. And I know WWE made the best of really what was an unprecedented situation, but for you and the other superstars, it had to be at least a little weird wrestling either in front of, you know, an empty building or, you know, the virtual audience that you guys had in the Thunderdome where the fans were being shown on video screens, right?
Yeah, it was something where I remember the first week, it was me, Tucker versus Miz and Morrison, beginning with those guys' feud. And we're just legit, like every time I had the habit of looking to the crowd, they're not there. So it was like, oh my God, like, okay, something a little new here. And you learn, it was a different way to learn how to work in a way where it's like, all right, this is basically a, you know, it could be a bar fight, street fight, you know, just, hey, just talk some crap, get nice and physical. So that was the same part. But now with the crowd, now the timing is back now. Now we're ready to rock. And it was like, I love, you know, thankful we got to do what we love to do during the pandemic times. And that was fun. But now we're all excited to get back on the road. Because, you know, we're always going, and man, we always keep going as we're good for WWE and us in the locker room, the WWE office. So now we're getting back to normal things now.
Yeah, you're not competing on the roof of the WWE headquarters like that the one last summer. It was,
Man, I was scared of heights, man. I tried a few things in there, and man, it was a little chilly out there. It was probably about 30 degrees out there. Now that's not much cold for me because I'm from Wisconsin, but the being in your underwear, it was a little juicy in there. Yeah.
That was unique though. That was creative. I like that. But yeah, like you were saying, you know, I was watching last Friday when you guys were in Houston, the pay-per-view, the Money in the Bank on Sunday. I think that was in Fort Worth. The energy, and it's a completely different vibe once you guys are getting back into, you know, what's, you know, what we've grown up on and what we watch, you know, in the normal time,
so to speak.
Be. Yeah, that's right. It is what it's supposed to be. So, you know, we saw you, I believe it was last Friday, you were squaring off with Cesaro. I think earlier this month, you and Chad Gable were mixing it up with the Street Profits. What can we look forward to this Friday from Otis on SmackDown here in Cleveland?
Whoever wants to step up, because again, I said before and I'll say it again, when I smell it, I smell fear in that locker room. And we called out Chip, my mentor, my teacher, Chad Gable, made a list out there. Who wants to come over and get a piece of me? But again, it might be a little scared. You know, I'm nice and cool and calm here right now. But this Friday, expect a way, way meaner, more focused Otis, because this is a whole different ball game that people are used to me seeing, you know, in that ring. In that ring, I only care about one thing, is that, you know, it's beating people up, smashing them, dropping the load, bam, and getting the victory. So me and Chad Gable are on the up and up, looking for tag team championships. I want to say congratulations to the Usos for winning the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. But if, you know, if it comes by us and they cross paths with us, we're become the next tag team champions.
Yeah, talk a little bit about you and Chad Gable. It's an interesting pairing, and seems like you guys are really getting it done here as of late.
Yeah, we've known each other behind the scenes ever since 2009, I believe. And we were in the same club, Minnesota Storm, because there was no club in Wisconsin. Only when I was out of high school, I went right to the Minnesota Storm. And train together, you know. Once he got his foot in the door in NXT, I kind of said, all right, sorry, amateur wrestling, that was one dream, but now I got to follow my dream. So once he was in, I had to go in there, man, because I needed a piece of it. We do our separate ways. And then now, on the downfall of losing the Money in the Bank contract, losing the beautiful Peach Mandy Rose, losing your close buddy, your brother, big brother, Tucky, now I'm down the dumps. Now Gable comes in, teaches me his philosophy, tells me the strategy, and the tactic is going as planned. Sorry, Street Profits, for, you know, damaging you, but hey, that's business, baby. So
that's right. I was gonna say, it's just business. Well, good stuff. Otis, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm gonna be in the stands on Friday night at Rocket Mortgage. Oh yeah, I'll be there. I got my tickets.
All right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Just seeing how fun it's been these shows these past few nights since you know, you guys have gotten back on the road. It's been fun to watch. I'm looking forward to being part of the atmosphere, and looking forward to seeing you and the rest of the superstars in Cleveland. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, man. Glad to be back in the mode, man. Back in the what we call back in the saddle, as they say.
There we go. Absolutely. All right.
Appreciate
it.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
All right, thank you. All right, there you go. That is Otis from WWE SmackDown. And SmackDown will be at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Friday night. And if you're interested in hearing more about that show, I would encourage you to check out the story I wrote for the News Herald. That story is going to be on the News Herald website. I'll be sure to post a link to that in the show notes for this episode of The Nail. As a reminder, you could subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Spotify and other podcast listening platforms. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you next time on The Nail in the Coffin, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, I think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
Right.